Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's like if Stefanski somehow breaks open, the Titans should be all over. And I agree. I think he's good. I mean, from the outside, it appears there's a lot of stuff that's out of his control that's been bad. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely been one of those almost like unrealistic names people throw out. You know, now everybody's talking about Tomlin, right? Stefanski is one of those guys who people talk about as someone they'd like to see.
That was Joe Rexroad, 102.5 The Game in Nashville, also covers college football for The Athletic. And I just the quick point on this, and then we'll get to Shador and our expectations. I think it's really funny that Titan fans would be dancing in the street and would be over the moon with excitement, because that's the situation that their fan base has to be in right now. When you go through six different coaches between head coaches and GMs, replacing one a year for the previous 6 years, you're going to be in a spot where nobody trusts you and nobody wants to go to you. That's why I would say, like, for the Daryl Riders of the world that told us at 320, like, oh, yeah, he's going to be hired in a second. If he gets hired by the Titans, that's not the win that you Stefanski supporters think that it
is. No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Because he's just going to get fired in 8 weeks, nine weeks into the next season.
He'll get one season or two seasons, and then he'll be fired, and it is what it is. Like, that's not the win. In fact, if I was Stefanski, I would tell him not to step on that grenade. Like, if I was advising Stefanski, he doesn't need my advice, but if I was advising Stefanski, I would say, wait it out.
Completely agree.
If the best you have...
Be Vrabel.
Exactly. If the best you have as an offer is the Titans, then guess what? It'll be the last offer you ever get to be a head coach again. And if that's how you want to go out, then fine. Go out that way. But for me, I would expect and I would want better.
Yeah, yeah. If I was advising Stefanski and the Titans were interested, I'd say, okay, we'll go to Tennessee and we'll be an advisor, you know, to whoever you guys decide to bring in on the head coach. And, you know, get a cool place in Nashville and maybe you'll be there sometimes. Maybe it'll be remote like old Paul DePodesta used to do here in Cleveland, be an advisor for a year, and then go be a head coach somewhere better next season. I definitely just, like, I can't use, Jonathan, like, the shield that, okay, if you fire Kevin Stefanski, that he might go get a head coaching job somewhere else. Like,
yeah, don't care.
I'm done with that. Yeah. At one point, it moved me a little bit. Like, sure, you know, you don't want to get burned the same way that Joe Flacco has burned me this year when he went to Cincinnati and had a little bit of success, the same way that Baker Mayfield burned me at the start of the season when he looked like one of the early MVP candidates this year. Sure, I don't want that to happen again, but I'm even past that point. Like, even if he goes somewhere immediately and becomes a good head coach right away, I don't care, because I realize it's not happening here.
Exactly,
it's,
right.
His voice is clearly lost here. The benching Wyatt Teller thing, like, completely got me off. That's one of the longest tenured players on this team. Like mm-hmm. So not only are you now sabotaging every single quarterback situation that you put your hands onto because you think you're this quarterback genius that could make it work with anybody, and you clearly can't, but now you're sabotaging the rest of the roster as well, and I just can't get down with
that. Just don't know why people care at the end of the day if he leaves and lands with another gig. It's not my monkey, not my circus. I just do not care. It'd be like if I broke up with somebody and then I'm supposed to worry about if they can find another boyfriend. Oh, who cares?
Yeah, like they probably will.
We decided it doesn't work out. That's the main point here, is we decided it didn't work. We need to move on. That's the idea. And so, like, with Stefanski, we need to move on. That's the point. Now, I would be very surprised if the list of candidates, and why it's important to talk about the Titans the way that we're talking about them, I think the Titans are why Jimmy Haslam refuses to make changes. Because years ago, people looked at this Browns team and this organization the way we're talking about them in Tennessee right now, where even to get Kevin Stefanski is looked at as a pipe dream to those fans, because they know nobody that understands football and what's happening right now would ever sign up for a job with the Titans, because all they do is hire people and then fire people, and nobody wants to work at a place like that.
And the thing, like, I do think, like, part of the reason why Kevin Stefanski is probably still here is because Jimmy Haslam feels bad for those days, you know, and I think that there's a little bit of him that probably feels guilt for the Deshaun Watson trade and the contract, and truly we're living in the fallout of all of that. But, like, to me, someone somewhere has to be accountable. Someone somewhere has to be accountable that your franchise quarterback that you signed up to coach is a franchise quarterback somewhere else right now.
6 years is enough time to go ahead and say we gave it a try, and now we're not going to have that perception that we had out there previously, where, again, we hire people and then we fire people and we don't really have a clue and we're just constantly overturning these jobs, and it's just not good. It's very hard to shake that. I feel like Haslam has done enough for the next cycle of coaches that we have offered up, you can say you have a runway if you get hired by the Browns.
Yeah.
That never existed previously with Haslam. You can now say that. That's the job is accomplished from that standpoint. I don't know about you, Nick, but I care about those type of things. I cared about it when I came to the Fan 10 years ago. One of the reasons why I love this station and why I was like, I want to go work there, mm-hmm. not only the reputation that everyone had built up in the previous 5 years that the station had been going and the different guys that had been working here, obviously a good name all across the country, but the idea that you knew if you got a job at a place like this, they weren't just instantly going to turn around a year from now and fire you. In radio, that happens all the time. Radio jobs across the country. A year, 2 years, you're gone, that's it, it's over. I knew at this place they give you a longer runway. They do. That mattered to me. I was like, all right, great. I want to go to a place like that. That matters to people. Job yep. stability does matter for people. Now, you still have to perform, obviously, and that's why we're at the point. I wouldn't be here 10 years later if I wasn't performing, okay? Like there obviously has to come a spot where you have to do your job and you have to do it at a high level.
Right.
That's where Stefanski's failed in this, okay?
Right.
But they gave him enough of a runway where you really can. Like, at this point, Haslam, you don't have the perception that the league has with the Titans.
No, like,
you don't.
And like, if you think about this, like, you saw the Baker Mayfield project through, you know, like, to the point where you thought that he wasn't a viable starting quarterback anymore. And that was in the Stefanski era. Then you gave the next project a true, genuine try with Deshaun Watson. And you tried so many different little things, firing coordinators and quarterback coaches and tailoring the organization to Deshaun Watson's every need. And that didn't work. So, under this regime, you've had two different experiments that you've let play through to their entirety, and neither of them have worked. Mm-hmm. So what's next? What's my path forward?
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Run it back with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Well, I think it's easy to point at the quarterback room. Again, you still need a quarterback. So then I'm going to let Kevin Stefanski draft Fernando Mendoza. And if you have to trade up with the Tennessee Titans to do so, you're not going to adequately be solving wide receiver or offensive line with that bonus first round pick that you have with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now I've got a dead man walking situation. Now I've got Brian Daboll in New York, where Fernando Mendoza doesn't look like God's gift to football. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are out of here by the bye week next year anyway.
Yeah, what's
the point?
And then you spend a whole offseason with Stefanski getting his hands on him, and then you're doing what you did with Baker, where all of a sudden you have multiple coaches in multiple years, and then Baker went through 8 coordinators in 7 seasons, you know? And like that's a bad way to start off a relationship as well. And so there is a timing element to all of this. If they're ready to pull the trigger on the quarterback, that can also be used as an enticing part to get a coach here.
Oh, for sure.
But in the same respect, it also then is like, all right, if you're going to really go after it, okay, great. But then it also gives you more of a freedom to be like, Stefanski, we don't want you touching this kid.
Correct.
We don't want you around this kid.
Correct, because I think it makes the most sense to bring in a new coach and a new quarterback together. And if they succeed together, great. You found your Breeze and Sean Payton. You know, if they succeed together, you found your Belichick and Brady. But I get that's not how it always works in the National Football League, but what you absolutely can't do is what you did to Baker, what New York just did to Jackson Dart. And like, I just see the handwriting on the wall where if they give Stefanski one last chance to get his guy yet again, you're effectively then going to mess up the quarterback that you're investing so much into to solve this entire nightmare.
All right, let's move to a guy that is not really labeled as his guy in the slightest bit, and we'll talk a lot of Shador coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well, but I did want to get your thoughts. Nathan Zagura was on earlier today with the Morning Boys, and he was talking about whether or not the Browns can let it loose with Shador this weekend.
I think this is the game where you can turn Shador loose a little bit, because I think that defensively we have such an advantage over the Tennessee Titans. Their quarterback Cam Ward's been sacked more than any quarterback in the league. You want Shador to keep showing improvement. That first half last week was really good, and I thought Tommy Rees in particular did a great job of creating some clearly defined reads, getting him on some of those sprint outs, running some of those screens. And then in the second half, there were some of those inward breaking routes that were open, and I think that's where a lot of the frustration from Jerry Jeudy came, is there are multiple times that second half where he was open and Shador just didn't rip it. So I would say, yes, turn him loose. Trust it. Even if you throw one of those, you know, with a little anticipation, that's kind of the next step, I think, for him. And something bad happens, this defense is going to have your back.
I don't know what game to expect from Shador at this point. I hope he turns it loose. I hope he goes back to the Shador that we know, and the Shador we expect to be out there. The problem I had with Stefanski getting his hands on him in the beginning is the same reason why I had an issue with Joe Flacco and the golden handcuffs he was wearing, and then even Dylan Gabriel. Talk to anybody that watched him at Oregon. That's a different quarterback under Stefanski, and I really hope that Stefanski wasn't able to get his paws on him to the point where we have a muzzled and neutered Shador Sanders, because that's not the best version of Shador.
Well, and dude, some of the answers that Shador has given this week kind of scared me, that maybe Stefanski has given him the poison pill as well.
I was encouraged. I was encouraged.
Yeah, that he's like not trusting what he sees, though, and dude.
That part is scary, but like more the idea that he had the recognition and the understanding that in that game last week, he took one deep shot to Jerry Jeudy, he had the touchdown pass to Fannin, but there was a lot of opportunities that he just didn't take. And I heard, maybe you heard it differently, I heard a guy in Shador that wasn't going to sit back and let that happen 2 weeks in a row.
I hope so, because this is a game where I need to see him cut it loose. I'm like you, I'm a Shador fan, I want to see this guy succeed. But a big part of this, and we've all been saying, like, you need to see what Shador can do. That was like the big hot buttony phrase when Dylan Gabriel was just stinking up the joint, was let's see what we have in Shador Sanders. Well, to me, you got to let the kid play to his strengths, throw the football downfield, push it a little bit, even if that means throwing an interception here or there.
Yeah.
To me, that's what seeing what Shador has means. It's not dink and dunk. It's not. I saw something somewhere that like he actually led the NFL, not Dylan Gabriel, in passes attempted behind the line of scrimmage. Even like that's just not the quarterback that he is. That's not who he was at Colorado. That's not who he was at Jackson State. Like, let the kid let it rip. What's the worst that happens?
It was night and day different in the Raiders game than what it was in the 49ers game, and that can't happen if you're Shador. And I really did. I got worried that they would have a week of practice, and all of a sudden, some of the thoughts and ideologies. Because let's be honest, I think Stefanski's brain at this point, when it comes to offensive football, is I think it's broke. All things considered. He used to know how to stretch the field. He used to know how to go vertical. He doesn't want to do that anymore.
No, it is literally just don't throw interceptions. That's it.
And I get it. When you lead the league last year in interceptions like they did, and you watch Jameis Winston throw the ball around as carelessly as he did, and really for 2 years now, you've watched a lot of quarterbacks just kind of rip it and grip it. I think he thought to himself, we're losing these games because we're losing the turnover battle. You heard him say this all offseason.
Right.
You're losing them because you're losing the turnover battle. But I think he went too far in the course correction. And I don't want to see this infest someone like Shador Sanders, who, when we watched him in the Raiders game and was able to play the style of football that he wanted to play, you saw the Isaiah Bond play, which is the reason why you got another opportunity.
Yep.
That's what was quoted in the articles, and everyone made the suggestions. The Browns were very impressed with the Isaiah Bond throw. That's what they wanted to see more of. Well, give them what they want, Shador. This isn't hard. But I heard a guy this week, Nick, that I really do think I would be shocked if he looks similar to what he did in the 49ers game. I think he's going to let it rip.
I hope so, because like the Titans do have a decent pass rush. We just heard that from Joe, you know, where Jeffrey Simmons is going to try to get after him and stuff. I think as long as you're getting rid of the football quickly, you're not taking these bad sacks, and you're pushing it downfield, the fans are going to be happy. And I think the team will be too, because that's what we have not had. We've had quarterbacks that dance around and take too many sacks, and we have quarterbacks that just dink and dunk and let the linebackers just eat these running backs at the line of scrimmage.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.